Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're glad. Look at this 11:30 service.
Awesome.
This is awesome. Man, welcome. We're so glad you're here. It is so great to be here and what God wants to do today. We're digging into, we always go back to it at a birthday time. We always go back to the mission and the vision of what Hope City is all about. 3 years ago, I was just thinking, actually, 3 years and one Sunday ago, you wouldn't have found a church here. A congregation.
It's true. That is very true.
Three. I mean, like, so think about that. When we talk about a church plant from the ground up with just a small team, and look what God's done.
That's right.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
And so every year when we come back to our birthday, we go back to our foundation,
yep.
And really we spend a few weeks really highlighting and focusing on what God has called us to be as a church in our community. And what that looks like. And so today we wanted to just kind of go over with you and share, maybe you've heard it before, remind you just of how Hope City came to be. Just a quick little overview. So Jason and I had been lead pastors at a couple of different churches. And we moved here to the Rogue Valley in June of 2018. Really, our plan was to kind of recoup from a kind of a bad experience in the Midwest.
Any experience in the Midwest is a bad experience. West Coast is the best coast, right, guys?
And we're planning on taking a year to kind of recover from that. And then our plan was to then go down to Southern California and plant a church there. So as you can see, that's not what happened. God really closed all those doors for us. We were kind of pursuing that. God closed every single door to moving down to Southern California. And in return, he like opened every door for us to stay right here to the fact of just giving us this building free. Rent free, mortgage free. Like, here, would you like a building?
And we're going to own it very shortly. Isn't that pretty awesome? I mean, like, come on. That's awesome.
Right? And so I was kind of looking through my memories on Facebook this last week. I was looking for the video that Jason and I first had shared to announce that we were going to be planting a church in White City. And I came across this quote that I posted in September 6th, 2018, when Hope City wasn't even on our radar. But I came across this quote and I posted it. Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell, and I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell.
Amen.
Do you hear that? That's always been our vision, our heart for ministry. Is to be in the muck and be in the dirty and in the messy and love people into God's presence.
Amen.
We were in New York and we visited this old church. I don't know if it was Catholic or Lutheran. Anyhow, it was Catholic. It was a Catholic church. It was really beautiful. We went in and we sat in there, and it was beautiful inside. It was a beautiful thing. The acoustics in that building were like amazing, and it was really quiet, like quiet. And I got to thinking, like, this is not how I would want to do life. I want to always do life and do church with excitement and exuberance. Guys, could you imagine me in a church like that? They'd probably throw me out.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'd be kicked out.
Right?
Fast.
Right? But this has always been my heart, and I know it's been Jason's heart. It's not about being where we're comfortable and it looks good and it's this put together place. It's about being somewhere where we're on a rescue mission.
That's right.
Rescuing people from hell. That is our heart. Always has been. And our desire was to grow a church where people are getting saved from hell and growing closer to Jesus every day.
Amen.
And in January 2020, the four of us, Pastor Jason, myself, Pastor Sheree, and Pastor Avi, we attended a conference in Tampa, Florida, where our goal there, one of our first jobs at this conference, was to develop what would be the framework for Hope City and to come up with the mission and the vision of Hope City. The mission statement of any organization tells you why that organization exists. Why are you there? What are you doing? And then the vision declares, like, how do we meet that mission? What are we doing to do the mission? And we came up with a mission statement that declares why Hope City exists. Our mission is love God, love people.
Amen.
That's our mission. Why does Hope City exist? If you haven't heard it before, you've heard it now. We exist to love God and love people. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking down the vision for you as well. You're going to be hearing some messages about how do we do that? How do we carry out? How are we creating a dynamic community where people are fully loved, safe to heal, and equipped to make a difference? That's what you have to look forward to over the next few weeks. But today, Jason and I get to break down the mission statement for you and tell you exactly what is it that brought us to this point that declared this is why Hope City exists.
Yes, and I want to go to the scripture that really speaks to it. And as before we jump in, the thing about this is we can say it all day long, but it's you and I doing this together. So it's when we say, yeah, I'm on board, so I'm going to love God and I'm going to love people. And I'm going to step into this, and I want to challenge you. There's really about four different ways that you can really get plugged in here at Hope City. And what this is about is really when a Christian has been saved for about 7 years, they stop growing. And we want to encourage you to always be growing. And here's how you always grow. You say, God, what's my next step? It's one step at a time. So, God, what is my next step? What do you have for me next? God, what is that next step? And I want to challenge us, if you don't ask God any other questions in your life, which you're missing out on a lot if that's all you ask, but God, what is my next step? And don't ever stop asking that question, because when you stop asking that question, you stop growing. Okay, so God, what's my next step? Every one of us in this room, we have a next step. And when God tells you what that next step is, we have to say yes. And when you say yes, you see obedience changes everything. So I have four things that when we come to talking about, well, how do I get involved at Hope City and how do I take my next step? There's four things you could do. One, be here on Sundays. And some of you might be like, well, yeah, I haven't really had that good of attendance in the last couple months. Well, make it. God might be saying, okay, I want you to be here on Sundays. Don't miss out. That might be your next step.
Let me just interject here for a minute, because like Jason and I grew up in church. Like,
yes.
I mean, Jason's parents are pastors. So
every time the doors open,
he grew up in church and in ministry. I was not a pastor's kid, but I felt like I was, because I was at church every time the doors were open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And for us, that's normal to us, like to be at church multiple times a week. And something has happened across the ebb and flow of America, of our culture, where people consider normal church attendance once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
I will tell you, like, coming to church does not make you any closer to God. You absolutely need and should be growing your relationship at home with God on a daily basis. But I will tell you that you will never feel connected and growing with people when you only see them once every 6 to 8 weeks. It'll never happen.
And I think it's hard to grow spiritually too. That's like you eat every 6 weeks. How would that work for you? Not very good, right? So be here on Sundays. Then find a life group. That might be your next step. Finding a life group to say, okay, I'm going to get connected. And you might go, well, I'm really nervous to go hang out with people I don't know. Listen. Get over that, because it changes everything. That's keeping you from being connected. Get plugged into a life group. And men, tonight is a great opportunity. If you're a guy in this room, be at Betterman. We're starting tonight at 5 o'clock. It's going to be so awesome. Another one might be to go to Growth Track.
Woo!
Be here at Growth Track and find a place to serve is the last one. That's how we do it when you say, okay, how do I get involved? It's our strategic mission. And I promise you this, if you'll do it for a year, it'll change your life. It'll transform you. Because when we're doing life together, that's what Jesus called us to do. We strategically, though, accomplish the vision and the mission. And you might say, well, why does it matter to me? Because all together, we do this. The church is not a building. It's not a sign. It's not a name. It's you and me coming together to say, we have one common purpose. We have one common vision. You might say, well, that's my church's vision and mission. But what I want to challenge you to do is make it personal. Like, make it personal. Say, I want this to be my mission. All right? And this idea comes right from the scripture. And as we embrace the vision and we wrap our arms around the vision and the mission, we can change the world. And our verse is Matthew 22, 37 through 40, if we can pull that up. Okay? Here's the two things. Love God, love people. Jesus said, this is what you need to do to get it all right. Okay? Matthew 36 through 40. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. If you are to boil down Christianity and you say, what does God want me to do? There's two things. Love him and then love others. Okay? And when we love God the way that we're reading about in Scripture, it changes everything. When we love God with that kind of determination, because here's the thing, you're never going to love others until you love God. So it has to be right vertically before it can be right horizontally, right? It has to be right. We have to know God's love. And see, that is what this is all built upon. It's built upon his love for us. And when you understand that it's love, it changes everything. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not if you can be perfect. It's not the people with the perfect past. Listen, all of that stuff, it does not matter. Because God already made a way, and his love for you is so great. And some of you don't believe God loves you. Because you look back and you go, well, how could God love me? I've made so many mistakes. I have a past, and the enemy uses that to beat you up with guilt and shame. I'm telling you right now, your past does not determine your future. Your past does not determine how much God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much, and there's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less or any more than he already does. And we have to understand that. We have to understand God's love is what changes everything. The religious leaders of the day were trying to trap Jesus and said, what's the most important thing? And he said, love God and love people, basically. If you don't do anything else right, it boils down to that. That's our foundation. I love what 1 John 4:19 says. It says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. So if you're not loved by God, honestly, you look in the mirror and you go, how could God love somebody like me? And I want to tell you, if you're a hot mess or if your life has been a mess, God loves you. In fact, he does a lot of great things with people whose lives have been a mess. Right? You look throughout scripture, all the disciples were a hot mess. You might not only be a mess, but you might be a hot mess. God can do incredible things with hot messes. All you have to do is let him do it. Your past does not determine your future. And when you understand God's love for you, I also love Romans 5:8, but God showed us great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. So while we were still in a mess, Jesus died for us. God poured out his unconditional love for us before we did anything to deserve it. And see, some of us, we look at God from an earthly perspective. We look at God how we look at, maybe you had a terrible father, and that's how you look at God's love. And I want to tell you, he's the best father that you've always dreamed of. He loves you that kind of a way. So really in that idea of saying, okay, God, I want to know how you love me. It's unmerited love. It's undeserved. It's a verb. It's not a feeling or something that comes and goes. God chooses to love you. He's already made that choice, and there's nothing you can do that's going to change it. He chooses to pour out that love. He fills our love tank first to overflowing, and then he turns around and pours it outside of our life. And, you know, God showed me one time when we were talking about this idea of a cup, and this cup that gets filled, let's say the cup is our life. It gets filled up, but we have a crack in the cup, and every time it fills up, it goes pouring out, and that crack is brokenness. And God wants to heal that brokenness. Sometimes you wonder, there's people that wonder, I can never just feel like I can have enough of God's love. It just seems God wants to heal your cup. And I believe he'll do that this year in Soul Care. God will heal you up so you can contain that love and pour it out on others. Here's what I want to say about this before I wrap it up. Here's what I, when I look at this scripture, going back to Matthew, if we can go back there, here's what God wants from us. He wants, and read this with me, love the Lord your God with all, say that word all, your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He wants all of you. Yeah. Not 90%. He wants all of you. He wants all your heart, wants all your soul, and all your mind. Giving him the best of who you are. Not just 90%, but what about the final 10%? Here's my question. What's getting in the way of you loving him with everything you are right now? How are you doing at loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What captivates your thoughts? What are you holding? What are you holding back? Why are you holding it back? What's captured your mind right now? Fear, worry, and anxiety? I want you to think about what you're thinking about. What's stealing your dreams? What's keeping you from loving God with your whole heart? What's stealing your strength right now? What do you need to do to give him what you've been trying to fix on your own that only he can fix? I want to challenge you this week, take an inventory. And here's how it all breaks down. There's another scripture that really speaks to my heart is Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The problem is we're seeking all kinds of different things and not the kingdom of God. And when you seek the kingdom of God, you're going to understand his love. What does seeking the kingdom of God means? It's meaning giving him all of us. God, I want to live according to what your way says. God, I want to live according to what the Bible says when it comes that way. I want to love you that kind of way. Seek him and everything else will be taken care of.
Some of you, when Pastor Jason just said, like, what's occupying your mind? Is it fear, worry, and anxiety? And some of you are like, oh, like that? That means, like, those things are probably there. Those things are probably an issue. And as I was just sitting here listening to him, I was like, some of you that said, yeah, fear, worry, anxiety, that's a big deal. Like, I struggle with some of those things. You should actually register for Brad and Wanda's life group to go through Battlefield of the Mind. I will tell you, that book was the beginning of my healing journey. I have read Battlefield of the Mind probably 6 times from front to back. So if you're sitting here and you know, like, you struggle with fear, you struggle with worry, you struggle with anxiety, and just let me tell you, the anxiety, it's a biblical word for, a lot of times in my generation, it was called, oh, I feel stressed. Well, the word stressed isn't anywhere in the Bible. But the word anxiety is, because it's a spiritual issue that the enemy tries to use to keep you held back. So if you struggle with those things, sign up for Brad and Wanda's life group.
Can I throw one other thing in?
Yeah.
When we talk about God's love, and I talked about this last week, we only experience it when we're in relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So you can't go weeks without talking to him and then wonder why you don't feel his love. Yeah, you can't go weeks without opening your scripture and hearing his voice. Because that's where we feel his love. That's where we build relationship, when we spend time with him. Could you imagine if you have a best friend you never talk to? I don't think they're your best friend. Mm-hmm. But we try to do that with God. And when we take that moment and we say, God, I'm going to spend my time with you. I'm going to spend time alone with you where I'm building that relationship. And I talked about that a lot last Sunday. So if you weren't here, go back and listen to that message because it's life-changing, I think.
And as we move from loving God to loving people, one of the biggest things that the enemy uses to push people away is the spirit of religion. Wait a minute, Paula, we're in a church. That's religious. No, it's not actually. We're not religious at all. The spirit of religion would love to use religion to convince you that you're not good enough. To convince you that you don't measure up, or as the opposite, to convince you that other people aren't nearly as good as you are, aren't nearly on as far on their path as you are. The spirit of religion has been pushing people away from Jesus and his love for centuries.
Yeah.
For centuries. And the spirit of religion is the biggest thing that keeps us from fully loving other people. Because as we get ourselves in the right place with God, and as we're hearing his voice, and we are experiencing life change, and we're giving things up, then the enemy would love to come in and say, see how good you're doing? Look at them.
Yeah.
Remember when you were like that? You should probably tell them how not to be like that. At Hope City, we love God, and we love people. Notice it doesn't say we fix people. We love people right where they are. Right where they come in the door. Right where they walk in my house for life group. We love people. I was reminded during the 10 o'clock service as Chris is sitting here in the second row. Chris is going to be leading Betterman with Matt. And I remember the first week Chris walked into my door at my house. And he was actually like profusely sweating as him and his wife walked in for our marriage life group.
He thought he was going to get struck by lightning.
And he was like, I don't know why I'm here. I mean, he couldn't sit still. He thought for sure that we are all going to judge him. He kept talking about this tattoo on his face that is just like, just declares everything that he used to be. And I kept saying, like, I could see that he had a tattoo, but it didn't like come out to me exactly what that tattoo was. I didn't see what he saw. And because we chose to love Chris right where he was, Chris is leading a life group this semester. What would have happened if I would have been like, dude, I don't think you're ready. Go get all this stuff fixed first.
Go get those tattoos removed.
and then come. That is not what it looks like to love people. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that we dilute God's word. We preach God's word. We preach what the Bible says. And we do it in a way that we know God, the Spirit of God, will convict people of what is going on. We will speak truth. We will speak love. And we let the Holy Spirit convict. And we love. If we abandon our love for people, we don't know God. If we abandon our love, we don't know God. Let me just tell you this. In 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11, this is what John said. This is how important love is. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. What John is saying is this. If you claim to love God and don't love others, you're really not a child of God. If you claim to know God, but you refuse to love other people, you don't know God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. It goes on, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Period. We do not have to agree with a person's choices to love them.
Amen. And it's not just the people that we love to love. It's the ones that are unlovable in our life that are hard to love.
God loves us. God loves me right in the mess that I'm in. And God calls us to love each other right in the mess that they're in. Just as God loves us, we are to love
people.
And you know, when you go back to this and you see the scripture that, and I want to go back to our scripture, our main scripture for today, Matthew, the Matthew scripture, if we could real quick. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And many of you have heard me talk about this before. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love others. Some of you look at the mirror and you go, man, how could anyone love me? Maybe you've been convinced of that in your life. And that love that we're talking about is when you connect with God and you see his love for you, then you can start to see how you love others. You have to love yourself first. And I'm not talking a weird kind of, I'm talking about you have to look at who God made you and be happy about it. You have to say, man, God, I see what you see inside of me. That's how we love others. And that's how we wrap this in to make it our personal mission as much as it's a church mission. And it's very simple. This is not rocket science. It's not hard. It's very simple.
And it comes down to this. Maybe you're sitting in this room and this is like a foreign statement to you. One of the things of Hope at Hope City is this. We never close a service without giving anyone who's in here an opportunity to know God.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.